Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
I love your church. I want you to know we love your church. Not only do we love your pastors, but we also love your church. This is a cool church. Do y'all know that? Like, you are a part of a cool church. Not everybody gets to go to a cool church. Like, hopefully everybody gets to go to a Bible-based, Spirit-filled church, you know, where we enthrone Jesus upon our praises. But not everybody gets to go to a cool church, a creative church, a church with a vibe, a church where in the middle of the worship, you get like really good breakdancing. Like no one else. Come on. Let's go. I don't know if you know how good you got it. Like, do you guys know that? Like, I know you're kind of early on in the process, but not everybody gets to go to a church like this. This church is amazing. There is a football coach. I think it's one of the Harbaugh brothers, and he coaches the Baltimore Ravens. And yeah, they're terrible. Boo them. They suck. But there is something that they do that is really cool. So before they break huddle, they say, "Who's got it better than us?" And everybody goes, "Nobody." I just think that's awesome. Y'all want to try that out? Yeah. Come on, studio. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Wow. I think we just started something. That's good right there. And it's true. Like, you are a part of something incredible. Do you know that? Ask your neighbor. Say, do you know that? So tell them, heck yeah, I do. Yeah, that's it. Thank you so much. You are a part of something special. We know that. We've always known that. And it's just really a joy for us, my wife Allison and I. Would you mind to stand up, say hello, wave at everybody so they can see you? We have admired you guys from afar since you've started. Obviously, even before Greenville, I think, was a dream, probably always was a dream in God's heart. But before it made it to Eric and Candace's heart, we admired them from afar. They have been heroes of ours for a number of years. And I often tell stories about preaching anywhere that I go and get the opportunity to hang out with friends that are also preachers. And I tell them, I have preached incredibly nervous twice in my life. The first time was in Pastor Eric Johnson's pulpit, because I just kept thinking about the fact that his dad, who I consider to be like absolutely goated, used that same pulpit. So like, have you ever had a moment where you're so nervous, like you have no idea what you said at all for 40 minutes? You're just like talking about nothing. That was what it was like the first time I preached at Eric and Candace's church in California. And so I'm happy to report I don't feel as nervous today, just a little bit, but not as nervous today because I feel at home. You guys feel like such an amazing, tight-knit, connected family. And that is so beautiful. Don't you know it blesses the heart of the Lord to see his people love one another the way that you guys love each other. He told his disciples, they're going to know you're my followers. You know how? Not by how you worship, but how you love one another. And that is something I am loving about Studio Church. There is so much love flowing here. Is there a lot of hippies in Greenville? They're in Asheville. I thought you said they're in Nashville. I'm like, they are. That's where I'm from. Yeah, you're right. They're in Asheville. Well, I feel like they would feel right at home here because there's just so much love flowing. And I love it. So who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Yeah, nobody, man. This is an awesome church. Anytime I get ready to go to a church and especially y'all's church, because we're celebrating this monumental day, which is your third birthday. I love to spend some time just before the Lord, praying, speaking to Jesus, and asking Him to speak to me about how He feels about a congregation, about a church family, about pastors, about leaders, so that I could just kick off a message with a few things. Now, I have way more prophetic sensings than I have time to go through today. Pastor Eric said I might have a little bit more time in the second service, so today's a good day to double dip. Just grab you a double shot of espresso and double dip at church today. And maybe we'll get more. But I just want you guys to know that your pastors are some of our heroes, and we just think that you guys have it really good being able to be served and to be led by pastors Eric and Candace. If you agree, say, I agree.
I agree.
Amen. I agree. Well, as I prayed for you, there was this scripture that kept coming up, and it was Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. This is not my sermon, so you don't have to look it up, but it's an interesting passage whenever Jesus was teaching parables, and He says to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven, trained for the kingdom of heaven, is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and old. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying that is something special that He is doing at Studio, because this church family has been trained for the kingdom of heaven. You've been trained to express the kingdom of heaven uniquely in your city and on the East Coast. You've been trained to manifest God's power and His kingdom here at Studio. And this is such an interesting saying, right? Like Jesus says, you've been trained for the kingdom like the master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and old. You know, sometimes people only preach the old stuff. Right? They don't really have a whole lot of new things to say. They just keep reflecting on what God did once upon a time. Like 22 years ago, I was at a youth revival and I had this encounter with the Lord and He said this. And so every time they get the opportunity to talk, they just talk about that one thing. Now, there's nothing wrong with testifying. Amen. It's awesome to testify. We love to testify, but sometimes it's only the old stuff, just reflecting on what God used to do. And then there are some teachers who are quite obsessed with, you know, the new stuff. Like, I just want to preach whatever's popular today, whatever it feels like people are attracted to. Those are the things that I'm going to preach. But Jesus said, no, I actually am looking for the wisdom of the type of leaders and teachers and scribes and people who express the kingdom of God, who are able to bring both what is old and what is new. And I felt like the Spirit was saying that right there is Studio Church in Greenville, South Carolina, is that they are an ambidextrous church. Not only are they capable of testifying about what God has been doing and able to pull from the rich deposits of everything that God has done in their life, but they're also able to remain on the cutting edge of what God is doing today creatively and just with the ever-changing landscape of their city and the culture. And they're like that scribe that knows how to manifest the kingdom of God, because they're not overly obsessed with what's old. They're not overly obsessed with what's new, but there's comfort in the tension and they're able to operate as a wise kingdom church. That was just something that the Lord was speaking to me about. And I was like, oh, amen. I know that that is something that Studio carries. I have some other things. I don't want to get into everything. Maybe I will in the next service, because I do have a scripture that I want to read to you guys. But there was something that I did want to say to both services for sure, is that God told me to tell you to expect. What I want you to do in prayer, if you don't have a lot of expectation for what God is about to pour out over your city, I want you to borrow expectation from Jesus, because He is extremely expectant, and excited for what He is about to pour out in your city and through your church. Amen? And so I heard the Spirit saying, expect, expect, expect. If your expectations were like your volume knob in your car, just allow the hand of the Holy Spirit to take hold of that thing and crank those decibels of your expectation up beyond your comfort. Like, really believe, like, God is about to do something spectacular. He said, strike the ground with the arrows and do not stop. Expect, 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 because breakthrough is coming. Breakthrough is on its way. Fruit is forming in the Spirit. No longer will it just be a bud on the vine, but mature fruit is on its way in the third year. Now, I wrote this down on the 15th of January, and I've not listened to your podcast, but here's what the Spirit told me that morning in prayer. Victory belongs to the Lord. Victory is in the name of the Lord. It's a year of victory. It's a year of breakthrough. It's time to win. It's time to win. It's time to win. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Literally, I wrote that down, and I was like, what? It's crazy. You don't normally hear T-Pain in the prayer closet. But on that particular day, I mean, I was in there, man. I was in the secret place, boots with the fur. You know what I mean? Y'all are like, we're too holy. We don't listen to that. Okay, I know. I know. If you have your Bible and you want to open it up, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm going to read verse 8 through 17. And just for the next 20 minutes, just encourage you from this passage of scripture about a man that we all admire, King David. Verse 8, the Bible says, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. You see, some people just don't want to see you win, do they? It was as soon as the Philistines had heard that David had been anointed king, they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to come attack him. Isn't it crazy how some people just don't want to see you win? So they came out to attack David, but David heard of it, and he went out against them. Now, the Philistines had come and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim, and David inquired of God. Everybody say inquired. Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to him, go up, and I will give them into your hand. You see, Israel had learned something essential for warfare because Israel lost every battle they did not pray through. So they understood the way in which I am to approach this attack is first and foremost through inquiry in prayer. And he said, go up. And he went up to Baal Perazim. And David struck them down there. And David said, God has broken through. Everybody say breakthrough. My enemies by my hand like a bursting flood. Therefore, the name of this place is called Baal Perazim. Now, nobody name your kid that, because that is a wild name. But if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means breakthrough. It means the God of breakthrough. It means the place of breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. 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 He said, this place right here, because of what God has done, we're going to rename this place and we're going to declare that this place is going to be Baal Perazim. This is the place where God has broken through. And they left their gods there, little g, and David gave command and they were burned. How gangster is David? You know what I mean? Like, I defeated all y'all, I turned you around, and then I'm going to collect all of your little idols and I'm going to put them in a pile and I'm going to burn them. I just love that energy. I whooped you, now I'm going to burn your stuff. That's just gangster to me. I don't know. And the Philistines yet again made a raid in the valley. That's the thing about those annoying Philistines is that they always come back. Just when you think, oh, victory belongs to the Lord. I did the thing. I have leveled up. I know what I'm doing. I'm mature in the spirit. Oh, yeah, let's go. And the Philistines come back. Don't y'all hate that about Philistines? or whatever, you know, you can fill in the blank, whatever is annoying to you, whatever attack the enemy consistently comes against you with, you can just put a little sticker on them, label them a Philistine. Now, don't do that to people in public, because that might be a little triggering, but you see people sometime at the mall and you're like, Philistine. I mean, not here. Y'all definitely don't do that. And then David again inquired of God, and God said to him, you shall not go up after them. Actually, go around and come against them the opposite of the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then go out for battle. Hold on, wait. When you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, trees don't make that kind of noise, do they? No. Y'all surrounded by a lot of trees, right? No. I ain't never been here. It just seems like it's quite green. I got a water bottle. It says Swamp Rabbit. That seems like there would be a lot of trees wherever this place is. Great water. God said, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, when you hear a supernatural sound, when you hear a response from the heavens, then you will know that it is time to go out for battle. For God has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines. And David did as God commanded him. See, that's really important that you take note of that. And David did as God commanded him, because your breakthrough and your obedience are intrinsically connected. If you want breakthrough, God's saying, I want obedience. And I believe it. To the extent that you are willing to obey God is to the extent that God will go before you and bring you into breakthrough. And David said, I'm going to do everything God commanded me. And they struck down the Philistine army from Gibeon to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all lands. Now, we think about like he went viral on TikTok. But it was a little bit different. Right? What is happening here is he is increasing in authority. Is there anybody in the room that you would like in your third year as a church for God to bless you with an increase of spiritual authority? Come on. I want more authority. How about you? Well, David is showing us how to level up in the spirit. Authority began to increase. He went out into all the lands, and what happened? And the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. So here's the title of the message today. It's the place of breakthrough. The place of breakthrough. Lord, thank you for your word. You're amazing, God. It's amazing what you're doing here at Studio Church. We love you and we bless you in the name of the Lord. And the church said, amen. Amen. Now, I know you guys know God well, and I feel like I do pretty well too. And one of the things that I love about God is that he has so many names. Anybody else? Yeah. Why does he have so many names? Because God is whoever you need him to be. If you're impoverished, he's your blessing. If you need a breakthrough, he's the Lord of the breakthrough. If you need a healing in your physical body, he is the great physician. Come on, we sang it this morning. Jehovah Nissi. Fight your battles. Jehovah Jireh, he meets your needs. Well, I'm grateful that one of his names is the Lord of the breakthrough, because he brings us into this place of breakthrough. And that's what I want to prophesy over you guys, Studio Church, in your fourth year, is that this will be a year that will be marked by victory. This will be a year that will be marked by open doors. This will be a year that will be marked by mature fruit. This will be a year that will be marked by breakthrough. Would you say that with me, church? Say breakthrough. This is going to be a year that is marked by breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I believe that God is bringing you into a place for breakthrough. And so whether you feel it or not, I just want you to agree with it by faith. You just say yes and amen. Yes and amen. I receive it. Well, one of the things about breakthrough, if you seek to define the term breakthrough, the first thing that you'll recognize is that breakthrough is a warfare term. It's not really a polite term. It's actually a warfare term. Now, like a good theologian, anytime I want to define a word, the first thing I do is I go to Google. You know, and here's why I do that, because what I want to do is I want to get the world's understanding of a term. I want to get culture's definition of a word. And then the next thing that I do is I go to the Bible dictionaries. I thumb through all the commentaries and everything, because then I want to know what God's definition of a word is, because I like to compare and contrast the world's definition of a term and God's definition of a term so that I can choose the better thing. Right. Amen. You with me? Because I don't know if you realize this or not, but in today's age and culture, there is a war over words. And so we've got to make sure to build our house on the rock, which is God's definitions of words, which is what we call a biblical worldview, because we know by building on the truth, capital T, we build upon a stable foundation, who is the rock, who is Jesus. Amen. And so I'm looking at the word breakthrough, and I'm like, okay, how does the world describe breakthrough? Well, it's an offensive thrust that breaks through, that penetrates and carries beyond a defensive line in warfare. That's what breakthrough is. It's also an act or instance of breaking through an obstacle. It's also a sudden advance, especially in knowledge or technique. That's one of the modern definitions. Also, a person's first notable success. You ever heard somebody say they had a breakthrough role, yeah. Right? Those are all terms that Merriam-Webster uses to define this word breakthrough. Well, I think they define the word well, because when you look into the Old Testament language, which is Hebrew, at the word breakthrough, which is used in this passage, it's the word paratz. Y'all want to learn some Hebrew this morning? Y'all say it with me, paratz. Paratz, that means breakthrough. And it means this: to break through, break out, bust out, as in a woman's water breaking. That's kind of wild, right? Hey, listen, if there's ever been a baby born in your family, you know that is kind of wild. Water breaking is crazy. One time my wife was in labor in Whole Foods. It's crazy. It not only means a breakthrough, but it also means a breakdown, like the breaking down of a defense, like the Detroit Lions last night. Break open, break into pieces, or break over, and lastly, to spread out and to expand. Like, I really want you to get those definitions, because I feel the sound of the voice of God declaring this truth over your spiritual family, is that this will be a time of breakthrough. There will be a breakout. There will be a bust out this year. There'll be a breaking down of all the enemy's defenses. There'll be a breaking open into open, spacious places. There'll be a breaking into pieces, every single instrument that the enemy would come against you with. There'll be a breaking over, like a cresting over into the next season. There'll be a spreading out. There'll be an expansion for Studio Church in the fourth year. If you agree with it, just say, I agree right now. Come on. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Y'all got it. So that's what a biblical breakthrough is. It's breaking through your enemy's defenses, breaking through your enemy's obstacles, breaking through everything that's held you back, breaking through what has limited you, breaking through all encapsulations that have kept you where you are. That's what a breakthrough is, and that is what Jesus is bringing you into. Amen? Now, here's the thing about anointing. One of the things that you'll see in verse 8 is that as soon as David is anointed, then the Philistines come for him, right? Because here's the truth in it. Anointing attracts attack. So you don't need to be surprised by attacks anymore, so long as you're a Christian. Anointing attracts attack. We together. Say it one more time. Anointing attracts attack. We all want to be anointed, amen? We all want more authority, amen? We all love to be recognized, to be made visible, to be rewarded, and to be blessed. That is the truth. But as soon as we are, not only do we open ourselves up to admiration, we open ourselves up to attack. And there's a visibility, and then the enemy comes against you and says, oh, you are who God is talking about right now? I'm gonna have to bring some attack to your doorstep. If you don't ever want to be attacked, then you don't ever want to be anointed. If you don't ever want to be attacked, you don't ever want to be blessed. If you don't ever want to be attacked as a Christian, you want to go to heaven tonight. Because as long as you are alive, you are a threat to hell. And I want you to love that. I want you to love that about yourself. I want you to say over yourself from time to time, I am hell's worst nightmare. Hell don't want none. Right? You know, I used to really wrestle with fear. A spirit of fear is just a demon that's afraid. Right? They're more afraid of you than you are of them. Because they know what's in you, and that is Christ Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Hosts, the Lord strong and mighty in battle. Like, they don't have a chance. And so here's what happened. David said, oh, I'm being attacked. Let me be proactive in my attack. Let me actually go out against them. And this is the kind of warriors that God is raising up in year four at Studio. They're not waiting for the enemy to attack them and say, oh, I've just been beat up. I don't think I'm going to go to church for 6 weeks. Y'all got too quiet on that. I've been attacked. No, it's I'm going to bring the battle to you. Oh, you're trying to attack me, enemy? Well, then you know what? You're going to have to get all of what I got. I'm going to come out to meet you. I'm not going to wait for you to punch me. I'm going to come out and get you first. So I used to have night terrors a lot, you know, as a young adult. I'm 40 now, and I don't have them as much now, praise God. But I used to have night terrors all the time. And maybe you've had this experience before, where I used to have these night terrors at exactly 3 a.m. Anybody ever had an experience like that before? I would wake up every night. It was like 3 a.m., 3 a.m., 3 a.m., 3 a.m. And I would have like a nightmare. And I would wake up and I would feel like this foreboding sense of darkness in the room. Like, this is demonic. You know what I'm talking about? And so one night I decided, you know what? If I'm waking up receiving an attack from the enemy every night at 3 a.m., here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set my alarm for 2:45. I'm going to set my alarm for 2:45. And when 3 o'clock rolls around, I'm not even going to rebuke the devil. I'm just going to turn up that volume. I'm going to turn up my worship music. And I'm going to say, oh, you come here often? Welcome to worship. It's time. I'm not going to wait for you to clobber me while I'm asleep. No, I'm going to bring the battle to you. You want some? Come get some. It's like the type of warriors that I believe that God is raising up at Studio. It's not people, you know, trying to pick a fight. We're trying to worship Jesus. But if the enemy picks a fight with us, we might not start it, but we will finish it. We will finish it. I was real small as a kid, and I was actually the smallest kid in my class, boys and girls both, until sixth grade. And my dad made me do sixth grade twice because I was so small. And he said, you just need to catch up, bro. And I would get bullied and beat up. And he told me, he said, look, as a kid, if you know somebody's going to punch you, punch them first. So this is what I have brought into my spiritual life. As soon as I get a prophetic word, as soon as a preacher from a small village in West Kentucky comes through my church and prophesies breakthrough over my spiritual family, I'm not going to wait until the anointing, the oil runs dry and let the enemy come after me or my family. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to stand in this breakthrough. I am increasing in authority. I know who God has made us to be. This is who Studio is. We walk in breakthrough. We have an increase of power and authority and blessing and breakthrough. And it's not just for my church. It's for my family. It's for my business. It's for my home. It's for my kids. It's for my grandkids. This is who we are. This is what I'm a part of. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Come on, y'all stand up. Oh my goodness, what is God about to do at Studio? Come on, I feel like, you know, today, like the angels are on their tippy toes. Like, what? what is God about to do down there? The Lord told me this would be like a watering place for the East Coast. The Lord told me that there was a spirit of comfort that was coming upon this house. Your pastors, as well as I know them, you know, we've spent some time together, and I look forward to us spending a lot more time together in the future, is that there is a shepherding mantle that is resting upon them, and there is a shepherding mantle that is resting upon this church. God began to speak to me about Psalm 23, about your church, about how the rod and the staff, that they'll comfort, right? And I always thought about the rod. I'm like, the rod? What's the rod? The rod is like an instrument of discipline. I always thought like, okay, well, the shepherd's like whooping me. With that, anybody else ever think that? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. It's just maybe like my childhood trauma coming out. Yeah, wop, wop. But I recently studied that on a flight to Brazil, and it actually is a rod of defense to protect you from all of the enemies that would try to attack you as you follow the shepherd. And the Lord has put a rod. I really do believe this. In your pastor's hand, there's a rod, but then there is also the shepherd's crook that's there for comfort as well. The staff that's there. And I heard the Holy Spirit say that there is a spirit of comfort that is coming up on this body. And I looked it up in the Hebrew, and the comfort means to be present with people. It's to look them in the eye. It's to hold their hand. It's to hug their neck. It's to be present with them. You know, sometimes when people are going through hard stuff, it's not what you say, it's just your presence. Yeah. And the Lord said there's a spirit of comfort that's coming on this house where it may not necessarily be about what you say, but it will be about you showing up. Yeah. We're here. Studio's here. You might be brokenhearted. We may not have the right words to speak right now, but we're here. We may not be able to give you what you think that you need, but we're here. We'll do whatever we can to serve you because we're walking in comfort. And that rod speaks to the protection of the Lord. And that staff speaks to the leadership of the Lord. And you've got some wonderful leaders, and God is guiding this church. He's leading you. He'll protect you from your enemies, and he'll guide you into good pastures. You're coming into a place of breakthrough. Do you believe it? Come on, let's pray.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.